What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
See, we even have some good music here on a New Year's Eve for you. Welcome back in on Camo X. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. And as I mentioned before the break, finally an opportunity to talk a little Cardinals baseball. And granted, they have given us zero to talk about here recently. But we're going to do it anyway, and we're going to do it with Jeff Jones, who covers the Cardinals for the Belleville News Democrat and has covered this team for a while for many different outlets. Happy New Year, Jeff. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, Joe. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, look, it's been really, really quiet. And, you know, I think we had an idea that there wasn't going to be a lot going on because there's not going to be a bunch of additions. By this point last year, I think that all of the three pitchers, the big pitching signings that the Cardinals had made, had all been done at this point. I guess we'll just start with the third baseman in the room and talk about Nolan Arenado. Do you foresee any chance that Nolan Arenado is on the opening day roster for the Cardinals?
I guess we can't say no chance, but boy, it's really hard for me to envision it at this point. I think this thing is so far down the road in terms of, I think, it being clear what both sides kind of want out of this, what the Cardinals feel like they need to do for Nolan Gorman in terms of securing playing time for him at third base, and really, frankly, what they want to do in terms of payroll. I think that, you know, when we hear from them, they're continuing to want to cut. It says to me that there's really no path forward without this getting figured out. And I do think it will be. You know, I don't know that necessarily it might be in a spot that maybe anybody thought that it would be when this started. But I do have a really hard time imagining Nolan Arenado being on the team on opening day, let alone when camp opens here. But I guess we can't say never until the ink is dry on that.
I'm a little bit surprised that he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go to Houston, and I know it was a lot more about timing necessarily, or than it was necessarily about the destination. But it seems like the destination is one that would fit Nolan Arenado at this point in his career quite well.
You know what's really interesting to me about that, and I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to it because maybe it's a universe that couldn't exist. But I wonder if the deal with the Astros and Arenado had been agreed to before the Astros sent Kyle Tucker to Chicago, I wonder what his reaction is. Because when you think about the timing of all of that, you know, the Astros obviously now have since pivoted to signing Christian Walker, and they're going to play Isak Paredes at third base. But at the time, making that deal, trading Tucker to the Cubs, could very easily have been a signal that they were willing to kind of, you know, throttle down themselves a little bit. And then so it didn't necessarily shock me, given the timing, that was a place that Nolan might have shied away from. But I do think it's an interesting sort of counterfactual. If the Astros reverse the order of those transactions, what does the winner look like?
We're talking with Jeff Jones of the Belleville News Democrat, talking a little Cardinals baseball here on New Year's Eve. When I was looking at kind of what I have said a lot, that I, you know, for all that folks think and all the hand-wringing, I certainly don't feel like, you know, this is going to be some sort of terrible. I don't feel like this is going to be a 2023. I think this team, even as it's constructed right now, even if you take Nolan Arenado out of there, I think what we are looking at is probably very close to what we saw in 2023. Am I way off the mark?
So I think the issue with this team that's going to crop up, that we saw crop up in that really long and tough 23 season, is that I'm not entirely sure where the innings come from to sort of fill in the gaps here. You know, when you look at the guys that so far they've let leave in free agency, Lynn, Gibson, Andrew Kittredge as well should be somebody that we remember here in terms of a guy who pitched important innings that's off of this roster. You know, it's around about 350, 360 innings that have walked out the door. And can those innings be replaced internally? maybe, you know, maybe it's possible that you get 150 really strong innings out of Michael McGreevy. And maybe if Kyle Leahy pitches 30 more innings and Chris Roycroft pitches 20 more innings, they look like Kittredge. And, you know, they look like guys they're replacing. And maybe Steven Matz is healthy for a whole year. There's a lot of maybe in there, right, that kind of seems like, okay, maybe it could be there. But at the same time, I don't know. To me, that 23 season really went off the rails when you were sort of looking at a team that had a clearly limited Adam Wainwright taking starts. You had Dakota Hudson and Jake Woodford taking starts. That was a lot of innings that really weren't of big league quality in that 23 season, and that's kind of where the bottom fell out. And so I do see the case for optimism, especially offensively and on the position player side, but I would caution folks that until Michael McGreevy shows up to spring, and he is that guy, and Gordon Graceffo either is that guy or maybe is a weapon out of the bullpen, until those things happen, I think it's fair to be a little skeptical of that.
Do you expect Eric Fetty to stick around?
I do. I think that, you know, if the Cardinals find themselves in a spot where they're needing to trade off Eric Fetty this winter, then things have probably gone pretty seriously awry. If for no other reason, then he doesn't really make that much money. I think it's 7.5 next year. And for starter visibility, for a perfectly cromulent number three kind of starter who's going to take the ball and put up predictable results for you, that's a guy who's going to have probably a lot of value at the deadline, that if it's a team that's out of it, that you know, he's going to be a guy you would trade. Or if you're a team that's, you know, surprisingly competitive, if you're last year's Brewers, then you hang on to him and you sort of see, you know, how far it goes. But to me, I think of the two, paradoxically, because he makes a little more, Steven Matz is the guy that's more likely to be moved.
And Sonny Gray, does he stick around as well?
I think so. I think we get the impression from Sonny that what was important to him when he signed the free agent deal last winter was proximity to home and the ability to be around his kids and sort of have an environment that he's comfortable with. And, you know, I think it's, he's told the Cardinals he's comfortable being in a spot where he's going to be kind of a veteran mentor for younger pitchers, if not necessarily on a contender. Now, you know, again, we'll see what that looks like. Does Sonny feel the same way at the deadline? Does he feel the same way next winter? Hard to say, depending on how this year goes, but I would expect him to be here on opening day.
Jeff Jones is with us as we talk a little Cardinals baseball, continuing on kind of what maybe we expect about 2025. The catching position is another one that is intriguing to me, and I was so certain that they were going to try to move Yvonne Herrera at the deadline last year, and maybe they tried. I don't know. I'd never heard that, but I've heard much more about Yvonne Herrera being the guy behind the plate this year when it seemed to me that Pedro Páez was trending at being that guy that they wanted to stay behind the plate. Where do you see that shaking out?
You know, the thing with Herrera is that his bat plays at a level, especially for a catcher, where if you can get him defensively to be, say, just maybe slightly below average to average, if he can be that good of a defender, then the bat is of such a quality that he's a big advantage for you at catcher, because compared to other catchers, he hits really well. But that's also sort of the challenge there, is that that's where you would want that guy. Because if Yvonne Herrera was, for instance, a first baseman or a corner outfielder even, then all of a sudden the bat compared to others to play that spot doesn't necessarily play up in the same way. So he need to be picking up that slack elsewhere. I think that when you look at Páez and Herrera compared to each other last year in terms of what they generated, I think obviously Herrera is a better hitter. Páez, I think, hit better last year than they were counting on. I think it was 7 homers he ended up hitting. You know, was put in some really good, strong, competitive at bats. I think was better at the plate than maybe they expected. But I think Herrera definitely shows out as a little bit of a better hitter. Páez is maybe a slightly better framer, maybe a little better game caller, a little better at working with the pitchers. Is markedly better at throwing runners out. Neither of them were league average. Even Páez was slightly below average in a lot of those metrics, but Herrera was pretty dismal behind the plate in throwing guys out last year. And so that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out, because one thing that's also going to be a challenge, again, if you're talking about a young pitching staff, it's a lot to pitch in the big league. It's a lot to sort of manage and keep your eye on. And if the running game is going crazy behind them because the catchers can't limit it, that's not putting those guys in the best possible spot to succeed. So that's going to have to be a point of emphasis based on kind of what we saw last season with those guys and not controlling the run game.
And how do we like Wilson Contreras as a first baseman? How do we think that is going to shake out?
I think it's a really interesting idea just in terms of, you know, if you look at the ways that Wilson has gotten hurt over the last couple of years, that they haven't really been, I guess they haven't been what I would call like a wear and tear kind of injury, right? You know, there was no like soft tissue stuff. It's all just sort of been freak accidents, but it's also freak accidents that kind of only happen to catchers.
Right.
So, you know, by moving him out of there, does that turn the bat in even a better direction? Maybe it does. And he was far and away their best hitter last season when he was healthy and on the field. And so if you feel like that's the best way to keep him there, then that's the best way to keep him there. I do think that, again, when we talk about what this team looks like next year compared to last year, we should keep in mind that Paul Goldschmidt, for whatever he did at the plate or didn't do, is an outstanding defensive first baseman. You know, has he slowed down a little as he's aged? A little, yeah. But he's still a top-tier defender at first base. And when you look at what that has to do with the rest of the infield of it, you know, and especially in terms of scooping out throws, we should be prepared for a little bit of that to be a little bit of a challenge as well.
Yes, I remember that being a huge part of when he came to St. Louis on what he was going to do for the infield defense, and I think he did that and more. And for what it's worth, and it's worth nothing, I think he's going to have a great year for the Yankees too. I don't think that last year is as indicative of a great slide for Paul Goldschmidt, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, you know, especially when you look at the way he kicked up in the second half of the season. Basically, it was kind of the second half of 23 and the first half of 24, where he was really pretty lost. And whether that was something mechanical, whether maybe there was more going on with him physically than he even maybe recognized or wanted to admit, who knows? But if he did seem to find it a decent amount. And frankly, like, the Yankees don't need him to be 2014 Paul Goldschmidt, right? If he can be 2023 Paul Goldschmidt, 2019 Paul Goldschmidt, that's more than enough for the Yankees, and he'll do them a great service by doing that.
Totally agree. Speaking of doing a great service, we appreciate the service you have provided us, Jeff Jones, on this New Year's Eve to chat a little Cardinals baseball.
I am thrilled to do it, Joe. Absolutely anytime.
Have a great new year and a great rest of the holiday season. And I know we'll talk to you more as we get closer to spring training and ultimately the 2025 season.
You too, sir. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, man. Sounds good. That's Jeff Jones of the Belleville News Democrats. Covered the Cardinals for a long time. Appreciate him stepping in on New Year's Eve. We'll keep it going. We've got Stu Durando talking Billikens basketball. That's coming up next. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line, and this is KMOX.